Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The Mr. Beacon podcast presents Connected Products, Talkin' Things, with special guest Marcin Pilarz, CEO of Talkin' Things. The Mr. Beacon podcast is sponsored by Wiliot, scaling IoT with battery-free Bluetooth.
So, Marcin, thanks very much for doing the Mr. Beacon podcast. It's great to have someone from Poland. That's an amazing ecosystem that you've got over here, and we have tended to focus in this show interviewing the CEOs of companies that make beacons, which are generally about contextual experiences based on where you are. But you do something different. Talkin' Things, your company, you're driving experiences based on what people have, about making, you center your business around objects. And so I think this is fascinating. So far, I'm thinking that most of your business is around NFC type triggers, but maybe we'll hear more about that later. But we're hoping that Bluetooth is going to come in the future. Perhaps the best way to kick this thing off is just for you to introduce us to what your company does.
Yes, so our company, in our company we do connected products, but the connected products, I mean everyday using product with us could be connected. So you can think about a bottle of wine, you can think about medicines, you can think about even engine oil, which could be connected. So we talk always in our company about not only about Internet of Things, but rather about Internet of Everything, to connect all of these products which you buy via e-commerce, or you buy in traditional shops. So every single product which you can find on a shopping shelf could be connected. And this is exactly what we do in Talkin' Things.
And the way you establish that connection, is that just with NFC technology, or are there other technologies that you're looking at?
No, we use mostly we use NFC technology, but it's just a matter of triggers which you use for that. It could be from very simple technologies like QR codes, barcodes. It could be NFC technology. It could be in the future probably Bluetooth technology as well. But also we are very open for other technologies, visual recognition, like augmented reality, which we know is quite common today for the products as well. So everything we can use to establish this connection between unique customer who's using his smartphone and any other technology which allows us to identify product, to have this match and to have this connection between a customer and the product.
So, and it seems like you potentially can do kind of end-to-end, pretty much everything that needs to be done, from helping with antenna design through to having a content management system and even some of the creative. Can you kind of break down into pieces what your offering consists of? Do you have kind of a content management system as well as tags?
Yes, of course. We have end-to-end system, which combine as a first step trigger, which we select with our client, what kind of trigger we should use to identify this product. It could be NFC. And once we decide that we use NFC, we support our client to decide what kind of standard we should use for that, what kind of chip we should use for that. Then we make a tag, or we fit the technology exactly to the packaging, because everything what we do, this connection, we do through packaging. So we can say that we also do smart packaging system. So once we talk about the NFC technology, which is our main trigger for the communication, then we design specific antenna of a tag just to fit exactly to the existing packaging, not to change anything or just make small changes for this packaging. Then we deliver full cryptography for the tags or for the selected technology, a backend front-end software with SDK to have an easy connection with existing mobile application of our clients. We deliver full equipment. This is a very important thing. So we deliver antennas and readers to establish connection during the distribution or during the production, to assign specific attributes to every single product. Then we decide and we support with building the campaigns, marketing campaigns around the technology, because we used to say in our company that technology without the specific concept is worth nothing. So we help our clients to build these campaigns, very specific campaigns around the Internet of Things and this connectivity mobile. And in the end, we collect data. So we maintain this data and help our clients to analyze this data which we collected. And this is exactly our end-to-end system. So based on this system, we deliver this total solution that our clients don't have to think about any additional company to join the project to really deliver the solution that they imagine.
I'd love to drill into each of those areas that you touched on in a bit more detail, but before we do that, give us a sense of how developed this market is that you have focused on, because this is pretty futuristic in nature, and my sense is that this isn't mainstream yet, but maybe I'm wrong. Are your customers generally in kind of the pilot proof of concept stage? How widespread is the embedding of NFC in products and packaging at this stage?
Yes, we can say that this is something new on the market. You cannot find too many projects, products with NFC technology on a shopping shelf today. But what we see from our perspective, from our client perspective, that it will change in couple next years. Technology which we deliver to our clients, this possibility of connectivity and to connect product with a client, allows to solve many needs which are existing on the market, but in a traditional way, through traditional packaging, companies are not able to solve them. So having this possibility, we solve some of these product problems. For example, protection against refilling wine bottles is one of the thing that we deliver, or loyalty programs through packaging without integration with retailers. So this is also the kind of a solution we provide. So today you cannot find too many projects on the market, but it will change this year. It will change next year. We have a couple of implementations today, smaller, bigger. Implementation cycle is quite long, but you will see even today we even run projects which will be on the market summer 2019 with a big rollouts. Today, not today, you can find some pilots implementation on the market from our side, some of our regular implementations, but still in a small scale. But as I mentioned, we work on one big implementation implementations today, they will be on the market very, very soon.
So you talked about anti-refilling as one application, and I'm assuming that just anti-counterfeit is another thing that people are asking you for. Can you give us some examples of some of the early projects that you have done and briefly summarize what the driver has been for those projects?
Mm-hmm. We've done some projects. What I can talk on the market is, for example, Alba 1913. This is a cosmetic company where we protect products against counterfeiting. So exactly the functionality you mentioned, and the connection with the client, because this company is selling most of the product in Asia. They are from Europe, so you know, this contact between these two continents is quite difficult. So they are trying to grab this clients, trying to connect directly with these clients to provide them new information about the brand and to really drive this business. So this is example of implementation we did. What else? We did ExxonMobil with Mobil One campaign in the United States. There was additional information about oil which we are going to buy. But the most important thing in this implementation was of very easy access to information if this oil fits to your engine. So there's a mechanism implemented inside a web application that you just select your engine, and just after that you get confirmation that this oil exactly fits to your engine. So this is great example that we show how we solve the problem of a product thanks to the connectivity and the technology inside the product.
I agree. I think it's a fantastic example because I see some drivers that the brands care about, but maybe the customers don't. I mean, if we come back to anti-counterfeiting, how big an issue is it? And my sense is that the brands care about it more than the consumers. Like if I got a Rolex watch for $50, I know it's not a Rolex watch. I'm not really that worried about counterfeiting. Because I know, I guess if I'm paying $5,000 for it, then I want to know that it's a real one. Talk to me a bit more about the balance between the drivers for the brands versus the drivers for the consumers and how you reconcile those two things.
Yes, you touched very important point when you talk about the counterfeiting of a product, because you mentioned about one customer who buys a Rolex which costs $50 and this one who buys for $5,000, yeah, which is a real price. And the problem is that this client who want to buy a Rolex for $50 is it will never be our client. Right. This is not a person. This is not a person who would like to buy a genuine product. He just want to have this Rolex logo on it. So this is not our client. We rather protect this client who would like to buy genuine one. But somebody's cheating him, so he's not able to check if this is a genuineness of the product. So this is very, very important thing. And yeah, and answering your question exactly, what is this relation, you know, between the client and the brand owner? It depends on the industry, it depends on the product. Because once you are buying Rolex, okay, you can buy it for $50. There is a lot of people who would like to buy a fake product because there is a Nike sign on that and this is still the product that you can use. But once you think about the alcohol product or once you think about the pharmaceutical product, everyone cares about that. Everyone would like to take a genuine pill just to make sure that it will not hurt you or it will help you. Because this is very also important thing, because there is a lot of fake product on the market. But if once it is placebo, it's still sometimes it's still okay. But sometimes there is a very very I can say bad pills that it will really hurt you. So it will not placebo will not help you. I mean, not make you healthier. But once there is something which is mix of kind of mixture, and you take this pill, then you can be hurt. So this is very important. Which industry consider and we are talking about. So sometimes customer really care. Of course, brand always care about that because this is loss of revenues once you cannot sell your product and your clients are cheated. So this is this difference between them.
That makes sense. And so it's really a matter of life and death. If it's pharmaceuticals, especially. I mean, some really bad things have happened, and even products like baby powder and so forth, that can be really bad if your child's not getting the nutrition. So I can see a driver there. Can you give some more examples of why consumers would want to go to the trouble of tapping a product? I mean, it seems so simple. It's so easy to do. You have an Android phone, you tap, it's done. But the reality is, it's always challenging to get a consumer to do anything other than what they would do normally to consume a product, which is to open it and take it out. What are some of the things that you are doing, and how do you solve that problem of getting consumers to engage with the NFC tag?
It's always a discussion about the specific use case. So it's why we establish and we provide the service with a marketing to have this call to action, easy access to the product. But there is always discussion about the incentive for the customer to do that. So for some group of clients, for some group of products, this is enough to give the confirmation that this is genuine product. So you have this kind of incentive. In other products, you can check if this oil really fits to your engine. In the second option, you would like to collect loyalty points. People love rewards, loves loyalty points, collecting all of these things. So once you can do that through packaging, through the product, without carrying with you another loyalty card, it is great incentive to do things like that. Another group of clients, this is clients who prefer product for vegetarian, vegan, who is buying only organic products. So you can have this possibility to easy tap a product and check this is you have green light to buy this product or it doesn't fit to your diet. So there is a lot of incentive that we can provide for the customers, and we can see that once you prepare the whole campaign in the right way, then it works. Really, customer, this is not a huge barrier to take your smartphone and check this product to get this more information. And of course, on top of that, it's always fun for the customers to have a fun using this technology, using this product, and have this connection. Because we don't have fun just using technology. Of course, if you are a geek, then you have a lot of fun just using NFC technology and things like that, or Bluetooth technology, whatever. But for the normal customer, this connectivity is something which gives you fun if you will provide that in the right way. So this is our domain as well, to make sure that we provide this fun for the customers as well.
And I think it's really interesting. So part of this is kind of marketing strategy. You know, what's the value proposition? But also part of it is the creative that you surround it with. And your website's beautifully done. And I think that kind of signals that this creative aspect is important too. I mean, you can have a great value proposition, but if people don't understand it, if the wording's not right, if the imagery is kind of out of sync with the brand, then it's still not going to work. It seems like, I mean, you have a an incredible challenge because you're really multidisciplined. You've got to understand about antenna impedance, and you've got to understand about aesthetics. How do you cover such a broad set of things as a relatively young company?
You know, this is our focus, to really deliver this wide possibilities for our clients, and we always think about this value, and we cannot talk about the technology. I will say that again, because customer is not using technology, they use the user experience. This is the key point. And everything what you do needs to be very easy for the client. And there could be very difficult technology behind that. It's like with iPhone. iPhone is really complicated inside, a lot of features, a lot of things. But for the customer, it's really easy to use that. It's why they win market today. It's why they're selling so many iPhones on the market. So you need to think about how it will be easy for the customer. And we have in our company for this, as we start from this end-to-end solution, we have experts in our company, in-house guys who is responsible for every single piece. So they are able to deliver this right value for every single smart part. And once we have a client, one is selling watches and different is selling soda. So the use cases are totally different. But thanks to this connectivity, thanks to these features which we have, we can find a common ground for all of this implementation and just to fit them for this specific product and for this specific use case.
So let's just...
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
To revisit that kind of chain of things that you have to do briefly, if we can, but I think it's really, each of them is interesting. Let's start off with embedding the chips in the product. You know, what have you learned about how to embed NFC into bottles and jars and that sort of thing? I mean, at the high level, seems like you just buy a tag and you slap it under the label and you're good to go. But I'm thinking it's probably a little more complicated than that.
Yes, yes, of course. This is not so easy. Once we talk with our biggest brands about the implementation, it's not only sticking a tag. And there's a great story to show an example of that. We have a lot of followers today. We have a lot of competitors, small startups. They think that NFC technology is easy to implement. They buy a lot of tags from Alibaba or from AliExpress. They buy tags, they add some software and stick on the product, and they think that they can buy a tag which costs 20 cents, they add margin another 20 cents because of the development, and they try to sell something like that, just stick a tag on the product. But this is not the way that it could work, you know. This is really long process, implementation process, and a lot of things to do to feed attack, to produce this attack in the right way, to have the right radio frequency signal just to make sure that everyone can read it from a distance. Once you have NFC tag with iPhone 7, for example, customer needs to have a reading distance like 1 inch. And you need to really fit this frequency to the right smartphones, to the right product. You know, this is not so easy. Liquids inside the product, for example, as you mentioned, bottle of wine or jars. If you have liquids, they interfere with radio frequency waves. So what kind of really frequency you should use? So this is very complex process. Of course, we start with our clients with a decision about the specific campaign, what they need, what we need to solve. Then we decide which technology we use and how to fit it exactly to this specific product. So then we design antenna of the tag, make a flip chip process, so commonly known as a bonding. So then we deliver the full solution. But this is not just a sticking. Of course, you know the form of the tags as a sticker, because this is the common form, but sometimes you have something which is called dry inlay. So then you have just inlay without any adhesive, and then you need to combine it somehow with a packaging. And what we do exactly? We embed NFC technology inside the packaging during the production of a packaging exactly. So this is the different story, because once you combine this traditional packaging with technology inside during the packaging production, then your client probably doesn't have to care about the implementation of this technology, just to activate it, just to check if technology survived the whole process. So there's a lot of things to do. Also a lot of improvement in the process. You know, NFC RFID technology today, you can find it commonly in a payment cards, in access card, metro ticketing, and all of these things in some gaming, but nobody before us really made huge steps on packaging industry to use this technology inside the packaging. So the machines are very slow, or there's no machines. So we, during our development, we've made two machines, just specific machines to adopt this technology, to implement it very fast inside packaging. We made a lot of setups, we made a lot of implementations, the new designs of a machine, some modifications of an existing equipment to really make it happen. So it sounds very easy, but in real life, this is really difficult thing to do.
I mean, how do you solve the problem of fitting in with a brand's well-established packaging process? So they're making a product, and they've spent years figuring out how to get the right box with the right color and graphics and that sort of thing. And then you come along and say, hey, let's put an NFC tag in it. Presumably, they're not going to switch out the box production to a provider that you like. Do you have to work with the company that they're already working with, or do brands switch? Is NFC a catalyst to say, hey, no, these guys are old school and they'll never adapt to this new technology? How does that work out?
Basically, I love this question, because this is exactly what we do every day. I mean, this is very a long process how to do that. I mean, once we get the real product, as you mentioned, for example, they produce that since 10 years, making just small improvements every year to have it better, to have it cheaper, to have it to have a better efficiency and all of these things. And then guys coming and they would like to put some technology inside. So you have a lot of questions about the recycling of things and all of these things around. And yes, we solved this a lot of issues, and we have great experience about that. And how we do that? Of course, we go very deeply inside the process of a production of every single product, and we are looking for some gaps where we can find this possibility to put the technology inside, and how we can do that. It's why I told you in the very beginning that we make a design of a tag which fits exactly to a specific product, to specific packaging, just to find this gap where we can put the NFC tag there, just to make sure that we are not changing too many things in this existing process. So this is our everyday thing, what we do, and our cases to find these possibilities to implement that. Of course, sometimes there's no possibility to implement that without some changes, but mainly this is small, really small changes inside the process or inside the production. We are always trying to find a possibility to show that the return on investment in this technology would be much higher than effort which they need to put to change something in this process.
And so, do you find yourself retrofitting, adding a sticker on top of the existing packaging, or do you find yourself building the tag actually into the packaging and kind of piggybacking on the existing production process? Which is the predominant way of solving this problem?
Of course, second option.
Okay, all right. So this has been really fascinating. We should we could talk for an hour, many hours more about this, but let's just wrap up with one last topic, which is the data. So we've talked a lot about getting the tags onto the packaging and the creative around getting people to engage. And why they would do that, but what kind of data are brands hungry for, and what have you been able to deliver them through your platform? Because that's part of what you do, isn't it? There's a dashboard and you deliver data.
Yes, so we collect all of this information which we can collect about the product. I mean, for us, every single product is unique. This is a very important thing, and this is where everything really starts. And what we do then, we assign some attributes for every single product, every single unique product. So once we assigned expiration day, once we assigned a batch number, once we assigned any other production attributes, then you have a customer who uses a smartphone, so we know that the customer is also unique. So once you have unique product and unique customer, then you make this match. And thanks, based on that, we collect the information that we know that there is a Steve in San Diego who's scan one product, second and third product. So of course we save the information when you do that, what kind of product, from which series, we know how often you use your smartphone for this kind of activities. We know where you are using your smartphone. Of course, if you give us a location data, we know if you open the product or not. So this is very important thing as well, because once you have, for example, just a QR code, you know that somebody just tap a product and maybe he was interested in the product, maybe he was interested in a QR code. But we have three ways of communication between client and the product. First is just a simple tap that we know that somebody was interested in the product. Then we measure interaction with the product. So customer rate it, give a comment, share it on a social media or something like that. And third a very valuable option is that once you open the product, we can detect that. And then this is really great information for every single brand owner that you know that somebody bought this product. So you know exactly that this is your customer and you know how often he buys this product. So this is the data which we collect. And you can imagine how big this data is today and how many information you can collect and how you can use them for marketing activities, logistic activities, for gray market activities, prevention to protect your products against parallel distributions and all of this kind of activities. So this is data which we collect. Of course, there is a lot of details, but probably we will not finish between them before midnight today. So there is a lot of things to discuss. But overall, this is this kind of data.
But this is really a revolutionary concept, isn't it? Because traditionally, brands created the product and they handed it off to a third party, and then they had no idea who was buying it and how they were using it and so forth. So there must be a lot of excitement within the brands that they're suddenly finding out who their customers are. Do you see that?
Yep. Yes, definitely we can see this excitement, and our clients really love this this idea. It's why we have so many clients today, big brands, who's really think about the revolution and really consider our technology as a revolution inside the management, inside the way how they treat the products, how they organizing every single step of the production, then distribution, then all of these logistic activities, in-store communication with the client, then in-house communication with the client. Even some clients are considered to use our technology also for the last recycling issues. So you can see this whole cycle, how it can change the way brands think about the product, and they can see how technology really can change the products.
And are people, how excited are people in monetary terms? So there's a dollar figure on this, isn't there? Because you're taking something, packaging, which the science was all about how to squeeze another half a penny out of the cost of production, and you're suddenly bringing in all this extra cost. It seems to me that this has almost got to be seen at the CEO level. It's going to, you know, are we in the business of shipping t-shirts, or are we in the business of kind of connecting directly with our customers? Who do you see driving this? And you know, what are your thoughts about, you know, how do you qualify a client? You know, if someone just says, hey, I'm from the packaging department, we thought it'd be kind of cool to have NFC in there. How do you deal with that? And how many of your customers are really tackling this at the top level in their companies?
Most of our clients really treat this technology as a top innovation that they can implement inside this product, thanks to the possibilities of changing the way they communicate with in B2B and B2C. So there is a lot of clients, they consider that as a real future. In some of them, we are in the first place in a innovation, and these clients really. And as you mentioned, they really sometimes it's really CEO level to make the decision. But CEO needs to have return on investment. And once you talk with a packaging team, of course, everyone try to squeeze and find savings on this packaging. But once you show return on investment, then you can add even a couple of cents to every single product because you will earn more, or you will find more savings, because we always talk about the two paths to find the return on investment in our solution. First, is to find savings inside existing processes, which is easy to calculate once we start discussion about specific implementation. And the second is increase of the sales. So this is also a way to find a return on investment. It's not so easy to really calculate it, what will be real response from the market before you make a pilot implementation or first implementation, to calculate how much you will earn, how you will grow your revenues before that. But it's always about this return on investment to find this possibility to implement this technology inside this product.
Well, I was expecting you to talk about increase in sales, but to be honest, I'm kind of surprised that there are opportunities to save money. How can you save money by putting smart packaging in place?
You can find savings in some other areas than smart packaging. It's not packaging itself where you can find the savings, but you can find savings in a logistic, in a distribution. You can find some savings in, for example, where you are losing a lot of money on gray market activities. So this is places where you can find the savings. We've built, for example, for one of clients, special device which can recognize every single product. So thanks to that, they have stock monitoring. Having stock monitoring, you are not driving to every single store to check if it is still full or not. You just go and refill only this products. Only go to the store where this specific machine is empty, so you have savings on this kind of activities as well.
Wonderful. Well, I think we've covered a lot. We've talked about the technology. We've talked about the business. Martin, thank you so much. You are a real pioneer in this space. I wish you the best of luck, and I look forward to keeping in touch with you as this area explodes, which I think it's going to.
Yeah, thank you very much, Steve. Thank you for this invitation, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
The Mr. Beacon podcast is sponsored by Wiliot, scaling IoT with battery-free Bluetooth.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.